I want to talk to you tonight, preach to you tonight about the story that we read a moment ago. Azariah had been the king of Judah. He had a son who was just a little baby. His name was Joash. Azariah was killed. He died. His mother, Athaliah, decided she wanted to be the queen, so she kills all her grandchildren. She kills all the potential heirs to the throne. But they hide one. Joash's aunt, who was the wife of the priest, Jehoiada, takes little Joash and hides him and his nurse. And for 7 years, they are hid in the temple. And his grandmother assumes the throne and becomes the queen of Judah. All the time she's the queen, all these 7 years, she has no idea that her grandson is hidden in the temple. She has thought that she's killed them all. She thought that she had wiped out all the heirs to the throne, but he's hid in the temple by his aunt and by the priest, and they are waiting for him to get a little bit older so that they can anoint him king and crown him king. So the day comes. He's 7 years old, and Jehoiada the priest says, okay, it's time. He's old enough now, and you might think, how can a little seven-year-old boy rule the nation? Well, he had some good advisors. In fact, his uncle, I guess you would say, Jehoiada the priest, was one of his advisors. And the Bible says, not my sermon tonight, but all the time that Jehoiada was giving Joash advice and helping him reign, he did good. When Jehoiada died, Joash got mixed up with some other guys that didn't give him so much good counsel, and he turned against God. But so he's 7 years old now. They're going to take the throne from Athaliah, and they're going to give it to the rightful heir, Joash, who, again, no longer was a little infant, but was a little seven-year-old boy. And so we read about how the priest called the men in and divided them up into companies and said, hey, you guys guard here and you guys guard here, and we're going to put you around the king, because when Athaliah hears that there's still an heir alive, she's going to do her best to kill him. She's going to do her best to remove him as an heir to the throne. She's going to do her best to keep her power. And so when he's given all these men their assignment, they came to him and they said, Jehoiada, we don't have any weapons. We have no swords, we have no spears, we have no shields. You've instructed us to protect the king, and we want to do that, but we have no weapons. And Jehoiada said, well, just a minute. There's some of David's old weapons in the temple. There's some swords that he used. There's some spears that he used. There's some shields that he used. And I don't know if they were in a separate room or if they were spread around the temple, but these were instruments of warfare. They were weapons that David had used in battle. They were weapons that David had won to win victories over his enemies. And after he had won those victories, he brought them back to the temple and dedicated them to God and said, hey, I want these to be in the house of the Lord. I want them to be in the temple because I want the people reminded when they come into the temple and they see this sword and they see this spear and they see this shield that God has used them to win mighty victories over our enemies. Sometimes we were outnumbered. Sometimes we were outgunned. Sometimes there was no way from a human standpoint that we were ever going to win a battle. But we took these weapons in our hand. We put our trust in our God. We went to fight. And God, through us, using us, won the victory. And I want to put them in the temple because I want people to be reminded that God's still God. I want people to be reminded that he can still use a small army to beat a big army, that he can still use an army that's outmanned and outgunned to win a victory. And so when Jehoiada, when these men came to Jehoiada and said, "We don't have any weapons. You want us to, you want us to defend the king?" And by the way, I believe it was God's will for this little boy to be appointed king. I agree. I believe it was God's will. It was the right time. It was the time that Joash should have sat on the throne. And by the way, again, it's not part of my sermon, but he led a revival. He turned the people back to God. He reopened the temple and cleaned it up and brought the people of God back to their God. So it was his will that he become the king. And they said, "We don't have any weapons." And Jehoash said, "I know where we can get some. They're spread around the temple. They're a reminder to us that our God is a big God, that our God is a God of victory, that our God can win any battle or any war that he wants to." And so they took the weapons out of the closet. They took them down off the walls. They took them down out of the display cases. And he passed them out to these men, and they did exactly what Jehoiada told them to do. They stood around the king, the little boy that was going to be king. They stood around Joash. They protected him from his grandmother, who again wanted to kill him. She came into the room as they were crowning him king. She saw the men, the guards that were spread around him. She came in and cried out, "Treason, treason, treason." But they took her out. They killed her. They anointed Joash king and put the crown on his head. And as I mentioned a moment ago, he led the nation in a revival. He turned the people back to God. And he, as long as he had Jehoiada for his counselor, he was a good king. A good king. Tonight I speak on the subject, David's old weapons. David's old weapons. I want to tell you what inspired this sermon. A couple weeks ago, I got to go into the Bible bookstore, and I just began. I went over to the section that talked that dealt with churches, and I saw all these books that were written to give pastors advice on how to build a church and how to run a church. And I just picked a couple up, and I started flipping through them. All sorts of new ideas, all sorts of new methods. I get an email from a guy. I don't even know how I got on his list. And I don't know how to get off of his list. If somebody can tell me how to get off of his list, I want you to tell me. But I get an email just about every day from this guy that wants to, he makes his living telling pastors how they can build a church and how they could run a church. I've often been tempted to write him. I said, "Have you ever pastored?" Because I look at some of his ideas that he suggests, and not one of them would I even try. I look at them and say, "This, they want to do this in a church? I mean, they think that they can use this to grow a church?" And so I'll tell you what I'm going to do tonight. I'm going to preach to myself. I'm going to preach to myself, and I want you to just listen, okay, as your preacher preaches to himself. Because I want to remind myself tonight that we don't need any new methods. We don't need any new techniques. We don't need any new ideas. Because the things that have worked in the past to build churches, the things that have worked in the past to bring men and women and boys and girls to Jesus Christ, are the same things that will work today. We don't need to change them. We just need to stick with the old weapons. They worked. This group of men was setting about to do God's will. They were setting about to put this young man on the throne where he belonged. They were setting about to do what God wanted them to do. They didn't come up with new methods. They didn't come up with new techniques. They went back to the weapons that David used to do God's will, and they worked. And the things that have worked in the past will work today. I have 3 points I want to make to myself tonight. I want to mention 3 of these weapons. And again, I just want you to listen. The first one, I would remind myself that we never need to put in the closet, never need to put on a display case, but we need to keep it right by our side as we build a church and as we tell men and women and boys and girls about Jesus Christ, is the Word of God. The Bible. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. This book was not written by man. They were the secretaries. They wrote the words down on the paper, but they didn't think up the words. They wrote as God breathed into them and told them what to write. The God who made the universe and everything in it wrote this book. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the Bible says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." I would remind myself tonight that everything that God has ever done, He has done through His Word. Everything. When God created the world, He spoke. He spoke. And at the Word of God, the world came into existence. 10 times in Genesis chapter 1, you can find these words, "And God said," "And God said," "And God said." Everything that God made as He created the heavens and the earth and all that are in them were made by the Word of God. Everything that, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, the Bible says, when He comes again to put down the Antichrist, He will do it with the spirit of His mouth and the brightness of His coming. So when He comes back to fight that final battle, He will use the same thing that He used in the first chapter of Genesis. He will use His Word. Everything lasting that has ever been done for God is done through His Word. His Word. I don't care how big our church gets. In the deacons' meeting tonight, we were talking about what we're going to do to expand, and we've run into a little complications with the code. You don't need to worry about it now. We're still trying to figure it out. The right time will tell you all about it. But I don't care how big we get. We're only going to do what God wants us to do if we stay rooted in this Word. If we keep this book at the center of everything that we do. When you come to Sunday school in this place, you're not going to get a book report. You're not going to get a current events report. You're going to get the Word of God. When you come into this place, you're not going to get anything else from this pulpit, as long as I have anything to do with it. You're going to get the Word of God. You're going to get the Bible. You're going to hear it taught. You're going to hear it preached. We're not going to do anything else. We're not going to bring in something new. We're not going to bring in something different. This has worked for thousands of years. It will continue to work for all eternity. We're going to stand on this book. We're going to stay by this book. This book is the Word of God. It's an old, old book, but it's ever alive. I can't remember who I was talking to. One of the people, I think it was, that's one of the people I was with in the hospital this week. We were talking about the Bible. And we were talking about, you know, you can read the same chapter over and over and God will tell you something new every time you read it. Something wonderful every time you read it. It's alive. It's alive. It's not a dead book. It's a living book. And we need to stick by it. It's worked in the past. It will work in the future. The second weapon that I would remind myself about tonight, I want you to listen, is the weapon of prayer and fasting. I'm talking about getting a hold of God and saying, I'm not going to let go. I'm not going to let you go. I'm not going to let you go. God, this burden's on my heart. This person's on my heart. This thing's on my heart. I need you to work. I need you to do something. And hanging on to God until He does it. Brother Ray came in this morning. Brother Ray, I'm going to steal your testimony. He came in this morning all excited, and I was talking to Pete and Gail. I stopped by and saw him this afternoon. They said, "Did you talk to Brother Ray today?" I said, yeah. He told me the first thing he came in the door. First thing he came in the door, he led his nurse, your nurse, right, to the Lord this week. Led his nurse to the Lord this week. His nurse. He said, always had a lot of questions. And he said, it's time I took you to someone who can answer all those questions. And he took her to the Lord Jesus Christ and won her to the Lord. You know why? Because I bet you that man spent time in prayer, praying for that lady. When's the last time you prayed like that? I'm not preaching to you, I'm preaching to myself. When's the last time I prayed like that? When's the last time I got a burden for somebody and I went to God and said, God, this person needs you. This person needs you to work in their life. This person needs you to do something that only you can do. Man can't help them. Their problem is beyond what men can do. Only you can help them. And God, I'm not letting you go. I'm not letting you go until you help them. Until you help them. You know, you say, I haven't prayed like that in a long time, preacher. You know what I encourage myself to you and you to do tonight? Think about somebody that needs Jesus as their Savior. The closer they are to you, the better from a relationship standpoint. But think about somebody that needs Jesus as their Savior and say, I am going to pray and I am going to fast until I see that person get saved. Until the Lord answers my prayer. Until the Holy Spirit works in that person's life. And they come to Jesus Christ. I tell you what, it will change you. It will change you. And God will work. Everything that's been done for God has been done through that book and through prayer. Through prayer. I mean, you just stop and think. You stop and think about the great things that have been done for God that you've witnessed in your life. And I dare say that every single one of them has been done through this book and through prayer. And then the last one, soul winning. Telling people about Jesus Christ. Fishing for men. Going into the highways and hedges and compelling them to come in. Mark 16:15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. God's plan all along, ever since the beginning, has always been for us to go to them and tell them about the Savior. That's been His plan all along. In Psalm 126:6, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Here comes a little 7-year-old boy. He'd be in the primaries if he were in our Sunday school. On his shoulders rest the entire kingdom of Judah. He sits on the throne as the king of Judah. What a responsibility. Joash, you don't need any new weapons. Just use the old weapons that David left for you in the temple. Get his sword. Get his spear. Get his shield. They worked for him. They'll work for you. And the weapons that those that have gone before us have used to build the church that we enjoy today, they've used this book. They have used prayer. And they have used soul winning. People going out and telling others about Jesus Christ to do what God called them to do. And we don't need anything new. We don't need a new method. We don't need a new technique. You say, preacher, they didn't have Twitter back in the old days. They didn't have Facebook back in the... I know all that. They didn't have microphones back in the old days. They didn't have PA systems back in the old days. They just had a bunch of leather-lunged preachers who got up and shouted as much as they could. But it ain't going to be Twitter that changes the world. It ain't going to be Facebook that changes. I'm not against any of that stuff. I think we ought to figure out how to use it. But let's not give up the stuff that is the core of what we need to do. This book, prayer, telling people about Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the old weapons. They've been proven. They work. We know they do because we're here tonight. Because somebody believed the Bible, and somebody prayed, and somebody told us about Jesus. And we're here tonight because of those things. They worked. We're a testimony to the fact that they worked. Father, help us not to put them aside. Help us to use them as our moms and our grandparents and our great-grandparents did, to do the work that you've called us to do. Father, I pray if there's somebody here tonight that doesn't know for sure they're on their way to heaven, the Holy Spirit has dealt with them the last few minutes. Show them that they were a sinner. There's a penalty for that sin, separation from you forever. But show them also our lovely Savior who went to Calvary's cross and paid the price for their sin. Invites them to come. He's not willing that any should perish. Invites them to come to Him with the promise that He'll save them if they come. And Father, I pray if there's just one person like that here tonight, they would come. Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts, do in us tonight what only You can do. Bless this time of invitation. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.